You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The World Cup with William Hill.
The Punt Daily Podcast. Listen at news.williamhill.com, on Audioboom, or subscribe by iTunes or your preferred podcast provider.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill World Cup Daily Podcast, looking ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, the conclusion of Groups C and D. In Group C, at 3 p.m, we have Australia against Peru and Denmark taking on France. In Group D, of course, it's Iceland against Croatia and a huge match between Nigeria and Argentina. Plenty to look forward to, therefore, on the Tuesday. We'll be hearing from John Gibby and Alex Dunn very shortly. They'll be giving us their thoughts in each of those four games. But just a reminder that we have a whole host of enhanced odds available on each of these matches as well. And you can get your own bets requested as well. Hashtag your odds to at William Hill on Twitter. So do give that a go as well. But without further ado, let's get stuck into these games then. John Gibby and Alex Dunn to start with on Australia against Peru.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-place stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on InPlay Radio.
Now, Australia against Peru is one of the two final Group C matches in this 2018 World Cup. It is, of course, the one they've all come to see in Russia this year. And Alex Dunn joins me, John Gibby, to take a look at this one. Australia 15-8 at time of recording, the draw 23-10, Peru 7-5. On form, coming into this World Cup, Alex, I fancy Peru to ruffle a few feathers, but that hasn't really come to fruition.
No, a few people fancied that. And I remember doing the podcast with Dave early on and saying, who are these people who are tipping Peru? Turns out it's you.
Yes, hello.
I hadn't really fancied them from the start. I was actually quite impressed with them against Denmark, but there was a lot of bluster and not much meaningful play, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They make a lot of noise, the fans, the players get stuck in and they harry, and that's fantastic. But in terms of actually doing anything on the football pitch, so far it's been lacking, really.
They've scored as many goals as Saudi Arabia in the
Exactly. And that penalty miss, obviously, against the Danes, if you turn that round, they score that, they go on to win that game. Who knows what happens against France with a bit of confidence, you know. But
it's all what-ifs, isn't it?
Exactly. Whereas Australia have been a little bit better than I thought they'd be.
Mm.
I thought they'd be the whipping boys of the group. And the fact that it's priced up with Peru only marginal favourites makes me want to side with Australia here at the price.
And Australia have something to play for, because not out of the realms of possibility they could qualify for.
No, not at all, not at all. 15-8 for Australia to win is a fine price as far as I'm concerned. But there's one bet that's an absolute standout here. I have a feeling if you've been listening to me on these podcasts, you'll kind of know the lines that I'm going for, because I've gone for it a lot. But penalty takers, any time, has been a good bet so far. There have been so many penalties.
More penalties in this World Cup so far than in the entire 2014
exactly.
World Cup.
Exactly. Jedinak, anytime, is 18-5. Now, at the start of the tournament, you'd probably looked at that and gone, that's not great. But he's now scored 2-2. He's also a threat from corners and other set pieces. It's got to go in there. It just has to. I think I fancied Peru to concede a couple of penalties in against the Danes and the French. I'm hoping they can concede one against Australia, but I'm just going to throw that out there now. That's the best bet in the game. Jedinak anytime, 18-5. You get your interest there. Score first is 10-1. That's fine as well. Not bad at all. If you are looking elsewhere, then, like I said, Australia 15-8. Australia on both teams to scores 9-2. Of course, the Aussies have conceded in both games so far. If they are going to go and win this, it's not ridiculous to suggest that they will concede and Peru can notch their first goal, because they've not looked completely devoid of attacking threat, Peru. They just haven't been clinical. And I think that's huge, actually, the 9-2. As I was talking there, I've kind of convinced myself that that's a big price.
You do this quite a lot.
Well,
we start off and you say, oh, well, this is all right.
Well,
and
the thing is, typically you would look at Australia Peru. If this was a first group game, you'd say trappy.
Yeah.
Unders, you know. But with it being the last game, Peru have got nothing to lose. Well, they've got nothing to play for. Australia have got... I'd say Australia have got nothing to lose, really. No one expected them to go through the group. They've got half a chance of doing so. So I think it could be a little bit gung-ho. Both teams to score 17-20. There haven't been many games in this World Cup so far that have completely taken off. where it's just been ridiculous from start to finish. This could be one of them. I'm hoping it is. So Australia, 15-8. Australia and both teams score 9-2. Both teams to score 17-20. But the best bet for me, Jedinak, anytime at 18-5.
Jedinak, anytime. The goal scorer in a game between Australia and Peru. Can Australia spring an upset and get out of Group C? All will be revealed at 3 o'clock UK time as they take on each other in one of those two final group stage games in Group C.
Also got France against Denmark in that group as well. Two sides bidding for top spots in Group C. Denmark also really need to confirm their place in the last 16 as well. And let's see what John and Alex make of this one.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-play stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on in-play radio.
I came into this World Cup sort of fancying France, Alex, but they haven't really set the world alight so far.
No, they've been really poor, actually. Very, very disappointed with them so far. But they have got 6 points. So you kind of can't knock that too much, I suppose. Because by hook or by crook, they are getting by teams. Against Australia, they were pretty laboured for most of the game. Against Peru, they were a little better. I think having Olivier Giroud start is a bonus for them because he just gives them that focal point of an attack. And in the opening game, they played Griezmann, Dembele and Mbappe, and it was all a bit sort of three kids at school who think they're the best player in the team and they're playing for themselves more than the team. Whereas Giroud is quite happy to get a knee in the back every now and again and hold the ball up and sacrifice himself. And added to that, he is a goal threat when France do go forward. Now, they come up against the Denmark side here, who I've been on the right. Well, I've wanted to be on the right side of the tournament so far. Back Christian Eriksen to be the Golden Boot winner, and I'd probably back him to score any time here. Not so much out of loyalty, but again, just to reiterate, everything goes through him. You know, it's. I was a bit annoyed with myself, actually, because although I have backed him for the Golden Boot against Australia, I backed Yusuf Poulsen to score first, and of course Eriksen bagged inside 5 minutes, which is a bit of a shame.
17-5 any time as well.
Yeah, it's a fine price. He takes penalties, and we've seen so many penalties in the competition so far. On set pieces, of course, France have already given away a penalty against Australia in this group so far. That's the only goal that they've conceded. So, honestly, I think France will probably win this, because they may rotate a little bit, but that's absolutely fine, because I think the players that they're bringing in may well actually add to the team more than the players that are supposedly first string. The 5-4 in France is what it is. It's difficult to back a side at that price when they don't need to win. I know they'll want to finish top of the group, etc., etc. So it's a little difficult on that. I would back Eriksen any time, so that would lead me to think that Denmark are capable of scoring. So let's just say, whatever it is that you fancy, maybe take the result and both teams to score. I think this could be more open than some of the other group games that we've seen.
It's 5-1, France, both teams to score. That does look a decent price.
It is a big price, isn't it? And both teams to score, yes, is 5-4. It's not a market I normally delve into that much. I think if I'm going to take one of the shorter prices, I'd sooner take it on the star striker to score at any time at a similar price.
Yeah.
But in this one, I don't think there is a standout. Like I said, I'd take a chance on Eriksen. But, and I do respect Yusuf Poulsen, by the way, but in two games now he's come up against diminutive left-backs, shall we say. Had a huge height advantage over them. He's not going to have things all his own way. The French side are pretty big, which sounds very basic, but sometimes you have to go, right, who's going to win the most headers in this game? Probably the taller team. But I don't think there is an angle in on that as such here. So I'll take Eriksen anytime, but best bet for me, I'd probably go both teams to score at 5-4. Along with Eriksen, but if you are looking for something a little bit bigger, probably France and both teams to score at 5-1.
Both teams to score for Alex Dunn. Also look at France, both teams to score. Christian Eriksen to score any time. And 17-5 the price on that. Don't mind a little bit of that, says Denmark. Take on France in their final Group C encounter.
So turning our attention now to Group D, and we'll start with Iceland against Croatia. Croatia, of course, already safely through to the last 16. Still plenty to play for Iceland. And before we get stuck into this match, let's learn a little bit more about the country of Iceland.
Welcome Welcome to Iceland, where there's a volcanic eruption every 4 years on average. Interestingly enough, beer remained illegal in Iceland until 1989. Then in 2010, the country banned strip clubs. Surveys show that despite their obsession with modern technology, as many as 80% of Icelanders believe in the existence of elves. There are no McDonald's in this country. The last one closed down on October the 31st, 2009. The day before that, Hjörtur Smarason went to Mackey D's and bought a burger. Not to eat it, but to keep it. It went to the National Museum and now it's on view at the Bus Hostel in Reykjavik. In fact, you can watch it on live stream as they show the decay of the wrappers and the food inside. Just Google Bus Hostel Reykjavik. If you're heading to Iceland anytime soon and you're worried about the lack of McDonald's, don't worry. Raw puffin heart is considered a delicacy here.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Raw puffin heart doesn't sound all that great to me, but hopefully we'll have some great bets in this match and we can get the thoughts of John and Alex now to steer us in the right direction.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-play stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on in-play radio.
Croatia, Alex, they've been good in the World Cup so far.
Yeah, they've been great. They're one of those sides that beforehand everyone expected to get through the group, but maybe not in the manner that they have done. I think they've been helped by the fact that Argentina have been pretty shocking to date. But they've taken advantage of some lax Nigerian defending and then some pretty appalling Argentine defending. They've played two sides who were, I wouldn't say in crisis, but put in the worst displays that they will put in this World Cup. Back-to-back, if you like. Now, they come up against an Iceland side who I was disappointed with against Nigeria. They had that game for the taking, having drawn with Argentina. They could have really taken it by the scruff of the neck, and they just didn't. They changed the system a little bit, went with two up top, and, of course, that miss from Gylfi Sigurdsson from the spot could have just put a pressure on Nigeria late on. As it happened, he missed, and Nigeria went on to win. Now, the pace that Ahmed Musa had for Nigeria really caused the Icelandics some problems. Fortunately, Croatia aren't blessed with searing pace up front. They've got a lot of technically gifted players, though. You know the likes of Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic need no introduction. And they almost end up with a four up front at times, just with attackers going and going and going. And you leave Modric and Rakitic to sort of do their own thing, because they're good enough to compete with any midfield duo in the world, I'd argue. 2-on-2. And they come up against an Icelandic side here who do not bless the best midfield duo in the world, in Gylfi Sigurdsson alongside Cardiff's Aaron Gunnarsson, provided that he's fit to start. He came off injured, didn't he, in the previous game. One thing I will say, apologies for my tip in the previous Iceland game. I put Ragnar Sigurdsson up any time against Nigeria, saying that they were weak from set pieces. And lo and behold, they changed their system. They got two up front and Ragnar Sigurdsson doesn't go up for corners, which means that I sat for 90 minutes. Well, he went off after an hour anyway, injured. It was a horrible bet. But I went from thinking, we've got a real bet here, to there is literally no chance of this landing. He's going to have to score from 40 yards. So just going on what I saw in the last game, if you are backing a centre-back to score for Iceland, Kari Arnason is the one that went forward ahead of Sigurdsson. The price reflects that. He's 15-2 any time. But to be honest, I don't think Iceland will cause Croatia too many problems here. Croatia will be keen to get out the group as group winners. Even if they do rest and rotate a few, they've got enough strength and depth, as far as I'm concerned, to get the job done here. And the 11-10 on Croatia to win is absolutely fine. Can I see Iceland scoring? Do you know what? I can't, to be honest, John. I was disappointed with them in the previous game. Yes, they could come out and show a bit more, but the whole ethos of the Icelandic team is the underdogs. They scrap and they fight. And the one time that there was a bit of expectation on them against Nigeria, they disappointed.
You can only play that card for so long, can't you?
Exactly. And they will be underdogs in this game, so that may play to their strengths. But I could just see Modric and Rakitic getting too much room in midfield, pulling the strings. I'd perhaps a bit closer to the game, if you can get maybe on the Euro odds market, one of those players to have an assist, Modric or Rakitic, because I think they'll just be sliding players in left, right and centre. Modric's 3-1 any time, and of course he scored in both games so far. He's lethal from the penalty spot, or so he seems so far, and he's almost making a case for him to win the Golden Boot without really trying so far, just from being good from 12 yards. Croatia all the way for me. They've been impressive so far. I think they could go a fair way in the competition. They seem to have their their stuff together, shall we say, compared to other teams. They're organised, they know each other. The team seems to have barely changed for 5, 6, 7, 8 years now. And I think they'll go on to win here. The 11 to 10 is fine, but Croatia win to nil, also a market I like. Both teams to score no, similarly, is 8 to 11.
That's selections of Alex Dunn as Iceland take on Croatia, already qualified, of course, for the round of 16 in the 2018 World Cup in Group D.
And finishing off then with that huge game at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night, Nigeria against Argentina. Nigeria, of course, could potentially go through here. Argentina would need to win and possibly even win by a few goals to get through. They need Lionel Messi to step up and possibly drag them through to the last 16. It looks a little bit unlikely with how they've played so far, but it is still possible. And Alex Dunn will tell us whether he thinks they will go through as he once again joins John Gibby.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-play stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on in-play radio.
Alex, Argentina haven't really been pulling it out of the bag so far.
How are they 8-15 here? What's going on?
Because it's Argentina playing Nigeria.
Yeah,
that's why.
But I got sucked in. I backed Argentina to win the group, so that's already a dead bet. They were poor against Iceland. They were worse against Croatia. And yet, somehow, they've been handed this reprieve in that it's actually very, very feasible that they go through here. In fact, you'd probably say it's the most likely outcome approaching these games. Should they be 8-15, though? Not a chance, because let's not forget, Nigeria will want to go through as well, and they're currently in pole position. Now, they don't need to win the game, but again, it's dependent on what goes on in the other game between Iceland and Croatia. There's a lot of ifs and buts, more than pretty much any other group. This one's the one that's really sort of hanging in the balance. Let's start by talking about Lionel Messi. He's had a hard time of things. He's had a rough press. Now, as we record this, Argentina still have Sampaoli as their manager. I think that's the plan for the game. But there's been a lot of talk. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of a World Cup sacking mid-tournament, but it nearly happened.
They're having a bit of a France moment here, aren't they?
Yeah, they are imploding. But the fact that they are imploding and could still salvage something. Messi played really, really well against Iceland. And he got so much stick because it was a few days after Cristiano Ronaldo bagged a hat-trick against Spain. And everyone was making the comparison between the two. Messi carried Argentina, missed a penalty, yes, that's a mistake, but that's okay, because he's not very good at penalties, and someone should actually realise that and say, look, you're a cracking player, mate, but stop taking penalties, give them to someone else. But otherwise, he ran the show, and it's no coincidence Iceland had three men around him every time they had the ball, and he did all he could to engineer something for Argentina on that occasion. It wasn't to be, and against the Croats, obviously Argentina got bowled over in pretty embarrassing style, really. Horrible mistake from Willy Caballero, and then a real collapse towards the end of the game, which has made a big dent into their goal difference as well, which I don't think at the time was at the forefront of their minds, but in the days afterwards, they'll have gone, oh, probably should have tried a bit harder for that third goal. Messi to score any time, Argentina to win, 23-20. It's pretty short, though. And don't forget, there's plenty of enhanced odds available on the game as well, so do take a look at those. But I don't want to be with Argentina at that price. If I had to be with Argentina, it would either be with Messi anytime, or Argentina and both teams to score at 21-10. They've conceded in both games so far, Argentina. Who's to say they won't do so again? They've looked fragile at the back. Now, the angle I've had against both these teams so far is set pieces. Nigeria can't defend them, and Argentina can't defend them. Argentina are a very, very small side in stature. Nigeria are a big side. They're just not very good at organising themselves. Against Croatia, Nigeria were shocking in the air and defensively. Against Iceland, who are arguably stronger in the air than Croatia, they were actually really, really solid. And I was impressed. But can that last for more than a game? I would be surprised. So I'd be looking at corner goal scorers. I've said that neither side are particularly good at defending the set pieces, so let's back players who are bad at defending but quite good going forward, I suppose. So if you're looking at centre-backs for Argentina, I suppose Otamendi's not the biggest, but he gets forward and he's a threat, and for him to score any time in the game is 8-1, which is, it's okay. It's not the best, but it's okay. And let's not forget, Argentina could really mix it up here, team selection-wise. You won't be surprised at all to see wholesale changes to that lineup. And as for Nigeria, I was actually really impressed with the way that they coped against Iceland. Ahmed Musa is 14-5 to score any time. He's obviously not a threat from corners. He's the smallest man on the planet. But he's got the pace that will also concern Argentina. Hand on heart, I think Argentina will probably sneak through, but I can't back them at that price.
Yeah.
So for me, best bets would be goals in the game. Both teams to score, yes, is 17-20. But I'd just be looking at team players to score from corners. So await team news, see what's what. That'd probably be the road that I'd go down. Like I said, I kind of don't want Argentina to go through, but you can just see them sneaking their way into the last 16, can't you?
Sneaky Argentina come up against Nigeria side as they try to cement their place in the last 16 of the World Cup, having been put in their place by Croatia, who were already through. And, of course, that game will affect Argentina's chances as well. So all still to play for in Group D. And those matches, 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening.
Well, there you go then. That is the matches looked after for Tuesday at the World Cup. A big day of action in Group C and D. We'll find out some more of the last 16 lineup as well. Good luck with your bets there. Don't forget you can request your own selections with hashtag your odds to @William Hill. Do check out Scratch of the Day on the website as well. It's free to enter and there's chances to get yourself some nice prizes along the way there as well. Enjoy the action on Tuesday and we'll be back again looking ahead to Wednesday's matches on the next edition of the Daily World Cup podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.